We are at the Mishnah, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Shemaris Yabam, we have this sugya in Subas. So for those who remember, this will be a repeat. Shemaris Yabam, Shenaflu Anachasim. Reuben died. His wife is waiting for Yibum. No complications with the Yibum, no 3 months, nothing. No Zikas, nothing. She's waiting for Yibum. Shenaflu Anachasim. And she inherited from her father money. Now, had she been married to her husband, the money would have gone into the Nichsim Malug. Well, really, she would have had a choice. But let's assume she would have chosen Nichsim Malug, where the husband would have been able to use it during the marriage, and it would have been hers, but she wouldn't be able to sell it during the time of the marriage, because her husband has first rights. She inherited it from her father, it automatically becomes Nichsim Malug. However, she's not married now. But on the other hand, she's totally not a free lady. Had she not have any bond to a Yavam, she would inherit it and be totally hers. Here, she's really stuck in the middle. She's not married, but she's waiting for marriage, or waiting for Chalitza. Now, if he ends up giving Chalitza, that's fine. She gets to keep her Nichsim Malug. No problem. But the problem is, at this point, when she's waiting, what status does these Nechasim have?
For simplicity, is it? How many brothers are waiting?
Let's say one. It doesn't make a difference. Okay. But let's just keep it simple. Right. One. Ma'idin b'shami shemecheres v'nitzan ha'zikayim. At this point, there's no way to stop her from selling it. She's not married to anybody. She has a bond to a brother, but that does not inhibit or limit her right to sell the property she inherits. Now, the money she gets, if it's around, but the time she has Yibum, will be invested in land. It'll be Nichsim Malug. But at this point, nobody can restrict her from selling it. Now, by an Arusa, this is a woman, not Yibum, regular Reuven is Mekadesh Leah, right? And during the time of Kedushin she inherits, there's a Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says she's allowed to sell it. She has no financial obligations towards her husband at this point. Beis Hillel says, L'chatchila, she shouldn't sell it. But if she does, it's a Mecheres and a Son of Zekayim. So by an Arusa, Beis Hillel is a little bit more Machmer, advises her that she shouldn't sell it. But if she sells it, it does not. They don't block the sale. Lemaisa, the husband has no financial rights. So Beis Hillel says that since she's an Arusa already, she's already, quote-unquote, partially married. I'll use it partial marriage, even though she's a total Lachesish, as far as Nus is concerned. She needs a get. But the bottom line is, financially, she has no obligations to him. So Beis Hillel is masking the b'dieved, if she sells it, it's sold. By Shemeres Yavam, Beis Hillel doesn't even place that restriction on her. By Shemeres Yavam, there is no restriction. There, even Beis Hillel agrees, there's no reason to tell her not to sell it. She's not an Arusa. She's not Chayimisa. She's not that relationship to her Yavam that an Arusa is to her Aris. Again, this is all rabbinic, because biblically he has no rights in her things to begin with. This is rabbinic. If she dies, what happens with her ksuba? She dies as a Shemaris Yavam. Right? There's a ksuba that she would have gotten from her husband, but she didn't because she was Shemaris Yavam. And her Nichsei Malug that were her husband's use. But again, nothing has been resolved because there was no Chalitz and there was no Yibum. Who gets it? The husband Yarshim, which means the Yavam Yarshim, or her family? What? Right, her family or his family. Now, had there been no Yavam, her husband died, she gets everything back, her Nichsei Malug, her Ksuba, then if she dies then, her family gets it. Right, so if her husband would die on Sunday, and she would die on Monday, her family would be able to come and collect the Ksuba, the Nichsei Malug, and everything. Because she was owed it the minute her husband died, right? But in this case, there was a Shemaris Yavam. There was a Yavam involved. The question is, his family or her family? So Beis Shammai Aimrim, Yachloiku Yarshabam Yarshiav. And the Gemara is going to explain this is going on Nichsim Malug, that they split it 50-50. We don't know who to give it to. On one hand, it should be her family. Lamaisa, she didn't have Yibum. But on the other hand, you can't say she was a free lady. She was bound to her husband's family. So therefore, Beis Shammai says, the best thing is, split it. Beisu Leimrim, Nechassim B'chetzkassim, which is, Ksuba B'chetzkis Yar Shabal. There's no reason for Ksuba, because her husband's family has it, and there's no way her family can collect it from them. And Nechassim B'yaitzim Ima, which is Nechassim Elug, the one that she brings in and takes along, B'chetzkis Yar Shayav. That's her family. Lamaita, it's her land. So therefore, we give it to her, not to his family. Notice that the Mishnah did not discuss the third one, which is Nichsei Tzayin Barzo, which is another type of money that she brings into the marriage that's evaluated at value at the time of marriage, that at the end of the marriage, he pays her back that value. The Mishnah does not discuss it. That's a Sudyim Baba Batra. We're not going to get involved in it.
What is Beis Shammai saying over Beis Shammai?
Beis Shammai says you split the Nichsim Elug.
And
no, at the end of the day, we won't split the Nichsim Elug. But at this point, it doesn't say that. Kansa, if the Yavam marries her, Harikir still the Kogavar. Then it's his wife. There's all the husbandry rights that a husband has, he has. Ubavad, Steik Suba al Nichsim by Larishan. The only thing is, when she comes to collect the Ksuba, if the Yavam dies, her rights are to her first husband's nechassim, not the Yavam's nechassim. She has no claim on that if there is a first husband's nechassim around. If there aren't any, then the Yavam has to provide him his nechassim.
Why didn't he get the second husband's nechassim?
Because he just basically moves into his dead brother's position. The Navkamina is only if there's nechassim from the first husband that aren't so good, nechassim from the second husband are better. They can push her off to the first husband's nechassim because that's what her claim is on. Rashi. She married Yavam, I'm tennis, I'm a chapel of Yavam. She waiting. Rashi uses the word hoping. Well, either hoping for Yibum or Chalitza, but ultimately she needs to have this resolved. K'mayaniya zula shav shamra. Baba bibik subas. The Gemara uses that same language when the woman is waiting for her husband. This poor woman was waiting for nothing. At this point, we think that she got this while she was a Shemeres Yavam. The principal is hers. And when she gets married, she brings in the principal. And when she gets divorced, she gets it back. Meaning the increase or decrease in value is hers, it's her land, he gets to use it during the marriage. Now we're going to use a word here that is not to be translated literally. The suffix nesuahi. She's not a suffix nesua. We know exactly what she is. We give her the status as a suffix nesua. We don't know how to treat her. Is she a married lady? Is she a not married lady? So we say, we give her a status as if we don't know. The Yavam gets half the Yerusha Misavik Shabal Yerusha Sishtai. So he has the status of a Baal. The Zusha Suffolk Nasui Yatzvah Zachi Bapalga. Again, it's not a real Suffolk. We know what she is. But what status do we give her? As far as her monetary things go, we treat her like a suffix nesua, and therefore we give the brother half. But in the ksuba, that we don't take away from him, this will all be explained in the Gemara, so we wait for the Gemara to do the explaining.
Beis Shammai says, he comments on both things.
Sorry?
Beis Shammai says,
She
keeps it, right?
No. Beis Shammai says split.
In both cases.
Which case?
In the Nichsim Elug and...
No, in the Ksuba, Beis Shammai will not say split.
Why? It seems in the Mishnah...
Right, so the Gemara will have to explain that. You're right. You're 100% right. If you read the Mishnah, it sounds like Beis Shammai is splitting the Ksuba as well. When you get to the Gemara will explain that way. You're 100% right. From the Mishnah itself.
And Beisol's position?
Beisol's position is that the Yavam keeps the Ksubah, and her family gets the Nichtim Alug in totality.
What is...
Oh, again, the Svaras to the Gemara, Mishnah, will be explained in the Gemara.
When is a Yavam responsible to Ksubah?
I don't know what that means.
When does he have to give a suba to his wife?
When he marries her, when he does Yibum.
Miyun maybe, I don't know.
Kalitza. There's no Miyun.
Okay. When does Kalitza, he has to give him suba?
The husband, the deceased husband's estate has to give him suba. Listen, Reuven died. He left over an estate. She has a ksuba saying that Reuven will pay her when she becomes widowed. The estate of Reuven has to pay her a ksuba.
Why didn't that kick in right
now? Okay, just finish.
Are we listening to ksuba? Are we referring to Reuven's ksuba or Shimon's?
Shimon doesn't have a ksuba. Shimon doesn't write a ksuba.
Even if he's miyabim her?
Even if he's miyabim her.
Really?
Yes.
I thought
he's the Ishtar Kutul Dabar. 100%, and he uses Reuven's ksuba. Last line of the Mishnah. There's no ksuba written. By the way, ksuba is a financial contract. It is not anything to do with marriage.
Wait, Rabbi.
Does he have shared sister or not? He does. That's nothing to do with ksuba.
What I'm trying to say is sharing sus
is during the marriage.
Is a monetary thing.
Correct.
Okay, so I'm saying there is monetary things that he has to provide.
True, he becomes her husband.
But not in regards to ksuba.
The ksuba, he just takes over his first brother's ksuba. He moves into his first brother's shoes. That's what Yibam is. He's continuing his life now as being both himself and his deceased brother.
So, in regards to monetary, not himself.
I don't know what that means.
In regards to a monetary obligation, as a husband, he doesn't have that.
Well, you just said he does have shared ksuba.
I'm talking about in regards to ksuba.
Right, I know what you would say. Unless his deceased brother had no property, so then he's mechuyev to write his own ksuba. We had this in Subas. I don't know why all of a sudden it's like shocking to you. This is the fairy from Subas.
When the original husband married his wife, he had money originally or never had?
Well, you're writing Subas whether you have or you don't have. Many people get married, they don't have any money.
What does it say in Subas?
That they'll pay when they get divorced or the widow, their estate will pay.
They're responsible.
Again, if they don't have it, they can't collect it.
Yeah, you go around, knock the doors.
Who goes? The guy died.
Family.
Only his estate is responsible. They have no key to go knocking on doors. They never machayev themselves to knock on doors. In fact, they were never machayev themselves on anything. They didn't do anything. He did. A guy borrows $1,000 and he dies and he has no money. What happens? Nothing. I mean, it's not good for his neshama, I'll be honest with you. Not good for a neshama to come up there and have debts. But down here, nobody's responsible. If they want to do his neshama a favor, they should pay his debts. But there's a difference worrying about the neshama, which is very, very important, or halacha down here. Halacha down here, nobody else assumes responsibility. Why should anybody pay it? Yes.
The ksuba says, either upon my death or divorce, I will pay this money. Right?
Correct.
So why is there any shaila that the ksuba has to be paid within that first 3 months when she's not allowed to get married?
Again, ksuba is only collectible. There's no obligation of yibam or chalitza.
Why? That's my asking.
Because the Torah wrote a different prescription here. The Torah's prescription was that somebody move in.
But the ksuba doesn't say,
Unless there's a... you're bothered again by who feeds her those 3 months. We'll get there. But the marriage is not over. The marriage didn't end.
But if the contract says when...
Again, that's when the marriage ends. It didn't end. The Torah extended the marriage.
It says on death or on divorce.
Again. I agree. That's only when... It doesn't say that, by the way. It says when you're able to get married to somebody else.
Yeah?
Yeah. Track the Gemara. Maishna reisha deloi pligi, maishna sefer depligi. Why, in the reisha, when she's alive, there, Beis Shammai does not put any restriction on her. Right? And when it comes to when she dies... All of a sudden, Beis Shammai says, "Oop, nechzim alug split in half." When she inherits, they didn't say that the yavam has any rights. They didn't say it's a suffix marriage, and since it's a suffix marriage, he gets 50% of her payers. Doesn't say that, and that she can't sell it because she's suffix married. They don't say that. They say when she inherits something now, it's all hers. Yet when she dies, all of a sudden, her nichsim alug are treated like it's 50% his. What changed because she died? That's the Gemara's question. Maishna reisha deloi pligi, or maishna sefer depligi? Zach Rashi. Maishna reisha deloi pligi, maishna sefer depligi beishamah. Maishna reisha kshikayemas, when she's alive, deloi pligi beishamah. Ala bekayach di la machzakinan lenichsi. We keep her nechassim and hers. We let her sell it. Means Yavam has no rights. There, Beis Shammai says no. 50% the Yavam's. Why? When she's alive, it's not the Yavam's. There's going to be multiple shatim to answer our Mishnah. If I remember correctly, there's Fula, there's Rabba, there's Abaya. And I believe there's Rava. Four different ways of learning our Mishnah.
Just this?
Sorry?
Original husband.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Whose property was this?
Hers.
And it went to him, right? Went to the Yavam?
Well, again, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It went to the Yavam, the Mishnah?
What are you talking about?
Who's using it now?
Nope. Well, during the time of Shemaris Yavam?
Yes.
Doesn't say in our Mishnah. Doesn't say.
Pashtus
nobody. Pashtus nobody.
Okay.
Pashtus nobody. I mean her. Pashtus her.
Right.
Not so simple, but Pashtus her. There is a discussion in the Rishonim about it, but simply put, he has no rights to it. He has no rights to the parents. We'll get again in the Gemara. We'll talk about these things. Let's go. Amar Ula. So this is shot number one. Again, this is going to be four different shotim. This is shot number one. Amar Ula. Reisha is enough with Shiarusa. The Reisha is talking about she never consummated the marriage with her first husband. That means he never had any financial rights to her property. It was before he got any financial rights.
The original husband.
Therefore, the Nichsim Alug was totally hers. Therefore, if her husband died, there is no, any Yavam has no monetary rights. He's not any better than the first husband, who had no monetary rights.
Before she was
a... Again.
Nafla before she became
a... You can't fall before she became an Arusa.
Nafla means
the husband died.
Oh, I thought Nafla means Nafla Beirusha.
No, Nafla means the lady fell to Yibam.
Oh, okay.
To Shehi Arusa, when she was an Arusa. And therefore, the Yavam can't claim anything. The husband didn't have anything.
It can't be any better.
The Seifa, the Nafuk, she Nesua. And Seifa is when she came, she was already in Nesua. So the husband already had monetary rights. That's why Beis Shammai says that we view the Yavam as a 50% owner because it's a Suffolk, Rashi. Again, Suffolk means we treat it like Suffolk. Zuk Rashi. She fell to Yibum from Erison, but Nafla Nachasim Lok she Shemeres Yavam. And the Nachasim came to her, right, when she was a Shemeres Yavam. Seifa, the novel of front of the Yibum Kshinasua. Okay, Rachel, the Gabi Arusa Mamish Kaimelon the Meshamai Timkar. Meshamai says, even to her husband, while she's in Arusa, she can sell whatever she wants, because it's time to come on. Coach can do Shayna with Skuka Balma. For sure. This lady is only Zokuk. Madach, while she was in Arusa, she could sell anything. That's Meshamai Shita. She has no financial rights at all. For sure, now that he died, and she's waiting for the Yabba. And I mentioned this earlier. The Beitul says that in Arusa, l'chatchila, we don't let her sell. But if she did sell it, it works. It's like a suffix. So even Beitul, who by an Arusa, say l'chatchila, don't sell it, over here, it's not a real Arusa. So they said they can sell it. Let's read it inside. Because Savar Ula. Zikas Arusa, Isa Suffolk Arusa. A Zik of an Arusa, we treat it like a Suffolk. Again, it's not a Suffolk. We know exactly what it is. But for monetary things, we treat it like a Suffolk Arusa. The Zikas Nesua, Isa Suffolk Nesua. Zika of an Nesua makes it as if she's a Suffolk Nesua. Zikas Arusa, Isa Suffolk Arusa. If you're going to say that we treat the Shemeres Yavam from Eretz as if she's an Arusa, Maidim Beisil Shemekares Menesenes Zekayim, Beisil would agree lechatchila she's allowed to sell it. But Tanan Navul Nechasim Shinesarsa. The Mishnah Suba says, if a woman inherited Nechasim during Eretz, Beishamai Imim Timkar, Beishamai says lechatchila she can sell it. Or Beisil Imim Loi Timkar, Beisil says lechatchila she shouldn't sell it. But everybody agrees that if she did sell it, it works. So, over here, Beisil says you can sell it. That means it's not as strong as a regular Arusa. Shmami no. Zikas Arusa, Isisavik Arusa. Period. Zikas Nesua, Isisavik Nesua, which the Gemara will elaborate on, but I'd like to catch up with Rashi. Look, Rashi. Save with the Gabin Nesua Ba'alma. I mean, come on, we say later on. Divri HaKoyo Mokro Ben Asna. Afilu B'zi'evet HaBa'al Ma'itim Yadu L'Kuchas. Right by Nesua, the halacha is if a woman sells it, the husband takes it away. She can't sell her property. Hachal, the Gabin Zikas Nesua, the Suffolk key. But like in Sua Mamash, Kaimi Nixim is Suffolk. Therefore, the Nixasim are Suffolk. Hachal, the Beishamai Chavuka Adifa. Beishamai says, we treat it like a Suffolk, and therefore split it. Well, the Beisul Chazak Kadifa, we treat it like a Suffolk, leave it where it is. Nix the Melugas by her. Zikas Arusa, Zikas Yivam Shenoflam in Erison, Suffolk Arusa, the way about the Arusa. We have a Gavzi, we got in the Chasim Eloi Shun Mekayach Behem, even though an Arus also has no power. But Imtish Zikas Arusa ain't a Klum, really Arusa doesn't mean anything. Korila Suffolk Arusa, we call it a Suffolk. Because we don't want to say it's worthless, right? We don't want to say the word Zika means nothing, because then she does mean Chalitza. So we don't want to use the word nothing. So we say Safik Arusa, it's really nothing monetarily. Monetarily, it gets no rights. Even the Aris really has no rights. Basil just says as an Aris, you shouldn't sell it. But he doesn't really have monetary rights. So we here, we don't give him any monetary rights, even to tell her not to sell it. But we don't want to say that. It's nothing, because she does need chalitza, so we use the word Suffolk Arusa. Maidim Beisil, but yeah, they agree. El Shmami Nach, Suffolk Arusa, he. Hokach Timkur L'chadchila, she can sell it L'chadchila.
Is Beisil consistent?
They're not consistent, but they are consistent. Meaning, Avadai Arusa, we say l'chatchila she shouldn't sell it. Recommendation. And by Suffolk Arusa, they don't even make that recommendation. Because basically what they're saying is, Zika from Arison doesn't create any monetary things. Less than a regular Arusa. That's what Rashi means to say. We really shouldn't even say Suffolk Arusa. We should say Zika from Arison has no monetary halacha. But we don't want to use that word, because by saying it's nothing, you would mislead people. So we want to say, you need chalitza. So we say a suffix, but it really has no monetary halachas. Erison does have monetary halachas, according to Beisul. There's a recommendation that comes along with it. A recommendation is a lechatchila, not b'diavad. By an arusa, by a jagoma from Erison, we don't even make that recommendation. She's not married to him. She's not Erison. She's not chayav misa. She's mezamim. She doesn't have that close relationship to her yavam that she does to her aris. Yes.
In a way, she's closer to the aris than she is. I mean, she's closer to the yavam than she is to the aris, because the aris can live with her and fulfill yibum, and he doesn't need chuppah.
True. But the bottom line is, she's mezanas and arus, she's chayav mitzvah. And she's mezanas and shmeres yavam, she's over love. Back to the Gemara. Zikis Nesua is the subject Nesua. Isav Kedai Tech Vadai Nesua. If you're going to tell me we treat it like a Vadai Nesua, Beisham Ha'amim Yachloiku Yarsha Baalim Yarsha Ya, would they split it? But then, Navu L'Anachasim Mishinistas, if a woman inherits property after she gets married, Eilu Ve'Eilu Maidim, Beisham and Beisil both agree, Shemokha B'Nasu Shabam Maitim Yadal Lekuchas. And the Sua has no property rights. It's all her husband's. So you can't say that Zika is doing the same as that, because they still hear it says, Beishamah says, split it. Shmami no, Zika's Nesua is a suffix. Nesua, we treat it like a suffix. Beishamah says, in a case of suffix, split. And Beishamah says, in case of suffix, leave on Chazakah. Rashi. I say suffix Nesua because the Bishop's Lil. Kivin the Vada Nesua, Baal Maitimi Adalukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukuk How could the suffix nisui have an chasim besuffix? We treat it like a suffix. Again, it's a misleading word because suffix nisui seems to say we don't know how to look at it. It's not true. We know exactly what's going on. There's no doubt here. In monetary things, we treat it like a suffix. The best thing is to split it. Beishame holds that she doesn't have any more chazaka than he does. The yadai ki yada. Beishame says, husband is like his wife, even after he dies. Meaning, they're equally holding on to this property. It's not as strong as her. However, enough look, she talks about. Remember, she inherited this after her husband died. That's a very big kiddush here. That means if the Beisul, according to Rashi, if she would have inherited during the husband's lifetime, then Beisul would say it's Yachloiku. It's only because she inherited it after her husband died, but she was in a sua. So therefore Beis Shammai says split it, and Beisul says it's in her primarily, why take it away from her? That's Ula's pshat in the Mishnah. So that's pshat number one, and let us recap what we have. Right? If she marries someone, can sell whatever she inherits when she's alive, because there is no, even an Arusa can sell according to Beis Shammai, and even according to Beis Hillel, it's only a recommendation. So by Shemaris Shabbat, there's no such recommendation. However, if there was Nesuah, and then the Shemaris Shabbat died, right, or the Shemaris Shabbat would have inherited post Nesuah, then Beis Shammai says, you can't say that the Yavim has no monetary rights. Because as a married man, he would have all monetary rights. So as a Suffolk married man, which is the way we treat him, he gets 50% of the married of the rights.
That's Beis Shammai.
And Beis Hillel says, bottom line is, the husband never had this. Bottom line is, she inherited this after she became a Shemaris Yavim. Therefore, it's her family's chazakah. And therefore, leave it by her family, and the nichsim will go to her family. So, according to Ula, the property that she had prior to that, there Beis Hillel would not say, leave it in her family. There they would agree, yachloiku, seemingly. That's what Rashi seems to say.
Why?
Because that the husband already had. The husband had it during marriage. This nobody ever had. The question is how to treat the yavam. So Beisel says, you don't know, leave it to her family. That's what Rashi says over here. Rashi says, according to Beis Hillel, it's because she never had it under her husband.
If you would do the rabbinical marriage,
what do you mean by rabbinical marriage? Mimer? You mean Mimer?
Yeah. If the
Yavam
would do Mimer, does that change the
philosophy there? It's a good shayla. Rav Rishayim say no. There's a Baal Hamor that says yes, but Rav Rishayim say no. Rav Rishayim say Mimer would not affect any monetary things. But it is discussed in the Rishayim. Amalei Rabba. So Rabbi says, no. If that's what you say, I disagree with you. Because if you're right, then this discussion should take place. Her husband died. She's a Shemaris Yavam from marriage. From the Suim. Her father dies. She inherits. There should be a discussion whether the Shemaris Yavam, the Yavam, gets Paris. Why aren't we discussing Paris? Why are we waiting for her to die to have this Shiloh, whether he's a suffix or not? While she's alive, she was married, she was in a sewer. She now inherited. Her Yavam is like a suffix in a sewer. According to Beit Shammai, he should be entitled to half the Paris. Why is the Mishnah waiting to discuss this when she dies? And then we say, give him 50%, because he's a suffix husband. If he's a suffix husband, he's entitled to 50% of the Paris. Why not? Why are we having her die? Let her be alive, and let's have discussion. If she falls, if she inherits after Nisuan, right, after her husband died, the Yavam is entitled to 50% of the parents according to Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel would say no. Amalei Rabba, if you're right, Adamiflugi begufa lachamisa, Liflugi bechayel leparis. Why are we arguing about Paris? Dr. Ashi, Amalei Rabba Le'ula, eat time in Bishim Chaluka Adifahu. If you're telling me that the reason of Beis Shammai is because the best solution when you have a suffix is to do Chaluka, Adamifu Yibigu Bishim Karka Lacha Misa, why are they arguing after Misa? Lifugu B'chayahu LeParis. The Beis Shammai Polig Yavam Peri Badah. The Yavam would split the Paris with her. The suffix Nesuhi. The Iluvad Nesuhavi have a Shakulu B'Karka. The whole thing. Had he been a vada nesua, he would have been entitled to 100% kuvul, Rashi the Bachad. Ulebeisil lechasim becheskasa, it's her family's chazaka. Loi shakul midi, doesn't take it all. Umidin nokim matnisim misa beseifa. Shmami not amayda beshami beresha. Damu lechazaka di labishim di kaiba. Obviously, Beshami must agree that while she's alive, things are different. If we're only talking after she dies, that means during her lifetime, Beshami wouldn't argue.
And say what?
I don't know. But we know that obviously the Mishnah needs her to die to have this machlokes. Ella Maraba, here comes the shot number two. The Nafik she Nesua. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about she was already in the Nesua. The second part is talking about she was already in the Nesua. She inherited after she was in the Nesua. Her husband died. She inherited the chasim. But the difference is as follows. When she is alive, she's a vadai. She has a vadai right to the property. It's her property. Question is, does he have any right? She for sure has a right. Therefore, since she for sure has a right, she's a vadai. He's a suffix, the yavam. Ain't suffix, might be the vadai. What right does he have to take the virus? She's a vadai. He's a suffix. When she dies, her yarshim are coming, right? Husbands inherit, yarshim inherit. They're arguing who should inherit. There's no vadai, because that's exactly what the argument is. Who's entitled to Yerusha? a husband is entitled to Yerusha, and a son is a brother is entitled to Yerusha, her brother, her father, her family. Right. So now we have an argument. When she's alive, even the best claim of the Yavam is that he's entitled to the Peiros. He doesn't have any claim to the body of the land. She is 100% the owner of the goof of the karka. Now the question is, he wants to take something away. She says to him, listen, I'm a vada here. You're a suffix. Ein suffix might be the vada. When she dies, they're both svekas. She's a suffix. Her yarshim are suffix. And the yavam is a suffix. He's claiming, I inherit her. And they don't inherit. I'm the husband. They're claiming, you never did yibum, you're not the husband. That's when Beis Shammai says, we treat her like a suffix in Yachloiku. But while she's alive, you can't say it's a suffix nesuah in Yachloiku, because she's a vada. Let's read it inside. Idim idim dinavlik she nesuah. Unlike Ula, who said the first case has to be she's in Arusa. No, she's in Asua, and she can sell. Because she's a Vagai. The thing is, Nesua is a Savik Nesua. So Reishid Yi Kaima, Reishid, if she's alive, have a Yi Vagai, in a Savik. She's a Vagai, and they're a Savik. They're a Savik, might be a Vagai. Sefer, the Mesa, Havolu Bon Liarish, Vavolu Bon Liarish. There's no Vagai. Therefore, Yaklai. So Rabbi is saying, even if she was in a suah, and her husband died, and she's a Shemeret Yavim, she inherits, she can sell. There's nobody to stop her from selling. The Yavim is claiming, hey, it's mine. No, you're not. It's my land. I'm a Vadai. You're a Suffolk. Get out of here. It's when she dies, there's no Vadai. But there's no Vadai. It's 50-50. And Beis Hillel says, it's part of her family's land, and therefore it stays in their Chazak. So Rabbi changes things. He doesn't have to learn like Ula, that's only by Erisin that we say she can sell it. Because his claim is, if she can't sell it as an Asua, so then the Peiros should be 50% the husband, the other. So Rabbi's answer is, as long as she's alive, there's no suffix. Because her Vadai trumps suffix. Rashi.
Are you arguing whether Chazak is stronger than Yachloku?
No. That's the argument Beis Shammai made too.
Yeah.
Yes. Amalei Rabbi Lula. Even time of Shem Chaluk Adifo, who? We did that already. Elo Amar Rabbi, Idim Idim Dinafu Yibim Shinasua. You Vada, Shakar Shalom Imanoshek. She for sure owns the principle. So you can call him a Chazak Adila. Her Chazak is stronger. Seifa, Hayu Lomaita, Lolo Blan Betayin Mikaya Kirusha. They're coming and claiming Yerusha. By Yavim Tayin Mikaya Kirusha. He's claiming Yerusha. So can stay himself. So the Beis Shammai, the East, the Beis Shammai. The Ziki Kiknusa, because if we would say Ziki is like marriage, and can we or have klum, they wouldn't get anything. Shabbal Yerush, Shua. We love Kiknusa, and if Ziki is nothing monetarily, and can we have klum. Meaning there's no for sure a Yerush here. That's exactly what they're arguing on. Who is the Yerush? They're definitely her relatives. And this was their families. Leave it where it was. Abu Bechayeho, while she's alive, who the Paris? Afilu Beishamai Moidim, the Nechasim Becheskasayim. There Beishamai would say, leave it in her family, she's a Vada. So Rabbah changes it from Ula. Ula had said, once she's in a sewer, it's a suffix totally. She can't even sell it. So Rabbah's claim is if she can't sell it, then why doesn't he get half the payers? So Rabbah says, of course she can sell it, even if she's in a sewer, but she's a Vadai. And ain't something might be a Vadai. The only problem is that he's about that, what happens when she dies? There is no Vadai. Because they're both claiming inheritance. And when they're both claiming inheritance, they're both suffering. There's no Vada here. So Beis Shammai says, Yachloiku, Beis Hillel says, it was her family's. Therefore, there's a Chazaka, and leave it where it was. That is the Machloikus Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and that is the second Mahalach in the Mishnah. So we had Ulas, and now we have Rabbas. What time is davening today? What?
I don't think they moved it up. They should have.
Is it any earlier?
Yeah.
Seven.
No. Seven. They did nothing.
So, Dr. Brain, I was wrong. I said we stopped at 40. We obviously don't stop at 40. Okay. I'm sorry? You said something?
This is the only difference is hollow.
Right.
Wednesday
was Friday's right. Eitzvah Abaya. So Abaya asked the question. And that is, what bothers him is that Rabbi just said, according to Beis Shammai, we don't say that suffering is not Maitzi Midei Vadai. Dr. Abaya, I will show you the Beis Shammai holds, suffering is Maitzi Midei Vadai. Where is that? But now, Novel Habayis, Olav Zal Oviv, Olav Zal Merishav. The house fell on a person, and on his dad, or any other person that bequeathed him the chasim. So Reuven and Yaakov were in a house, the house collapsed. The house collapsed. Reuven owed debts. Have no children. And depends who died first. If Reuven died first, Reuven never inherited any money.
Reuven's son?
Son. Reuven and Yaakov are in a house. Yaakov's the father, Reuven's the son. The house collapsed, they're both dead. Reuven has a wife, Reuven has debts, and they're coming to collect, Reuven has no money. But if Yaakov died first, Reuven inherited. If Reuven inherited, the debts have preceded his brothers who are inheriting him because he had money for that moment. And therefore, it's Meshubed to the... What?
No.
Why? He never borrowed.
But his son, he's not obligated to pay his son's
debt. Why is the father obligated to pay his son's debt? There's no obligation. Again. Want to do a taiva to the neshama? Pay the debt. It's not an obligation. So now, so the house fell on his father, or those who bequeathed him. And Reuven had ksuba, balichayv, they want money. So Yorshe Avayim and Maben Meishvishin. Now nobody knows what happened. They're claiming that this is what happened because they want the money. They're saying Reuven died first. Yaakov made up, then Yaakov died. Therefore, Reuven doesn't have any money. He never inherited. I'm sorry, and the Bachayv says, no, Yaakov died first, and Reuven inherited for that 30 seconds. Remember, Yerusha is an automatic. So we add money. So we are entitled to that money. Nobody knows. Beishamai says Yachloiku, and Beisul says. What? Yes. And Beisul says, leave it in the father's family. Now, over there, Yorshim are Vadai. They are Vadai inheriting their father's property. Right? Because they have it. The Bachayv has to collect it. Even if the son died second. Right? But the bottom line is, till it's collected, till the debt is collected, it's owned by the brothers. Well, that's what happened. Yaakov died, then Reuven died. Even if you learn that's what happened, when Reuven died, the money goes over to his brothers. The Balchayv is now coming to take it away from his brothers. Property does not remain ownerless. A debt is not an ownership. A debt is an obligation.
She would come before the children were born first. What
happened? Yes. A debt is not an ownership. It's an obligation. The ownership is the owner. Reuven borrows $1,000. He still owns his land. He owes $1,000. Did I just knock them up? No.
Isn't Tully in Yerusha is a Mecca?
Yerusha is an automatic. It's not a Mecca.
Isn't there a Machlokes whether there is?
No, that has nothing to do with that. That's the Machina Rishos. It has nothing to do with it. The Machlokes from the beginning of the 10th Perek and Baba Kama has nothing to do with it. Yerusha is an automatic. The minute Reuven died, his brothers own it. Whether he died first or he died second, his brothers own it. The Malchayim is coming to say it's mine. Meaning, I have a lien on it. The Yarshim are Yarshim Vadai. The Malchayim is coming Misafik. Because even he admits that it's owned by the brothers now. He just wants to take it away from Dan because he might have a lien. They for sure own it. He's a Suffolk lien. This is a Suffolk taking away from a Vadai. And Beit Shammai says, Yachloiku. So we see that Beit Shammai says Suffolk is Maitzi Midei Vadai.
How could they say that?
That's the question. Terence says, that's what they hold for whatever reason. So going back over here, when she's alive, she's claiming, I'm a Vadai owner of this land. You're coming to take the fruit, me Suffolk. So Rabba had said, Beishamai tells them, ain't Suffolk might to be de Vadai. It's not true. Beishamai doesn't hold ain't Suffolk might to be de
Vadai.
It's their land now. Who owns this piece of land as of today?
The
state is the brothers.
Rabbi, but this is a Vadai B'mamasha. It's not true Vadai.
I lost you.
B'mamasha. If their father died first.
Either way, the brothers inherited.
But it's still an either way.
That's Adarabba. But who owns the land now?
In our case over here, it's not an either way.
There it's a claim of either way. Here it's a... Who is the owner of this land?
The Mamashav is them.
So that means somebody's trying to take away their land. It's their land. Adarabba, I think there are more owners there than she is over here.
There's nobody else to be an owner besides her. She only has one claim.
I think you're mixing up there. It's a Vadai ownership. They have no claim to ownership. In the case you were talking about, the guy is coming from a Mamonoshev to claim that it belongs to him, and the other ones claim it belongs to them. Bachayim is not claiming it belongs to him here. He's claiming he has a lien.
Okay.
There's no claim to ownership.
Are we trying to define what Mazaka Hesapa means?
Again. Rabba had said that while she's alive, the Yavam has no right to Paris. Because she's a Vadai and he's a Suffolk. And therefore, ain't Suffolk mighty me de Vadai. Abaya says Beit Shammai doesn't agree to that. He's asking a kasha and rabba. You're saying Gepshat and Beit Shammai that Beit Shammai doesn't agree with.
He proves it from
a case when it's a case when there's a definite Yairish and a Suffolk lien, and we give them 50%. We give them 50%. Why not? Tell me why not.
Because everybody agrees on the but as they have something to stand on.
It's a lien. It's not an ownership.
That doesn't make a suffix. It doesn't make like when he's
going to
be me.
That's not true. It's a suffix because he might not even have a lien.
No star, nothing.
There's only a lien if there's property. There's no property, there's no lien.
Only lien if Reuven died
second. If Reuven died first, there's no lien.
Okay.
We will continue measure some tomorrow.